This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. Thank you for joining us on another fabulous Willamette Valley day this noon hour.
It is fabulous, isn't it?
It is. Every day in the Willamette Valley is fabulous.
So better when the sun's out.
Thank you for joining us the noon hour. We're here with you every Monday through Friday, every weekday at noon to talk about local issues and topics and individuals and all that good stuff. Today we're going to talk a lot about city politics. We have the good fortune of having Mayor Chuck Bennett in the studio, and there's so many things to talk about. It's been over a month since we've had him on, and it's been one or two things going on in
just
the news.
Just a couple.
And one or two things coming up. Then, of course, last week, the State of the City address. If you didn't catch it, or if you did not read it about it in the paper, you can hear more about it today. So let's get right to it. Hey, welcome, Mayor.
Well, thank you very much.
Nice to have you back.
I appreciate the opportunity to come talk with you.
I missed your speech because I was here in the studio.
Well,
so
why you need to reschedule that another time for us.
Yeah, okay. No, it's really confined by when do the City Club, Chamber of Commerce, and Rotary Club want it to be. And
this is
pretty much their call is a lunch hour. We did set it a little earlier this year than we did last year. Last year we went well into February. This year we decided to do it early on in the year to kind of get it moving along. We had a number of things we wanted to cover.
Well, we'll assume that the listener has not heard about your speech. So why don't you give us a recap of the highlights, things that you did talk about.
Okay.
And I know I ran into you in the community not that long ago. And I said, you know, there's some good things happening. So we want to hear about those things, too.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, sometimes we worry and we doom and gloom or we rant. But
there's really good
things happening.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, actually, the vast majority of the speech was good stuff. The newspapers, of course, don't cover all the good stuff.
Indeed.
They choose instead where they think there are areas of controversy or conflict. And I understand that. I've been a newspaper reporter. That's what it's all about. But actually, the speech really focused on the city's economy, which is absolutely outstanding. We've got probably our smallest unemployment rate in history.
Mm, nice.
The growth factors that are underway in terms of the number of building permits being taken out, the number of businesses opening, the jobs being created, really we're running way ahead of where we've been over the years, particularly when you look back to the recession. It's really moving along. Our schools are reporting a substantial improvement in their graduation rates. C-Tech is just humming along in terms of dealing with manpower issues. And the reason I mention these, the city has gotten more involved in the education system than they ever have before, particularly through C-Tech. And I'd be glad to talk about that. Our neighborhoods are doing great. We continue to have the kind of volunteer commitment at the neighborhood level that really makes this a place people want to move and raise their kids or retire or work or whatever it is they'd like to do. I think that is a really good sign for the long-term future of the community. We're expected to grow about 20% over the next 20 years. We are going to need strong neighborhoods as we ask them to change a little bit and accept more housing density, more multifamily as well as single-family homes. Our bus system is improving. We worked closely with the Senate President's office as a city during the last session and in with the Chariot bus system as well to change them. That has been, I think, one of the drags on the community has been our transit system, particularly over the past decade. And this now will be a new funding source that was agreed to as part of the transportation mm-hmm. package. And we're going to change that board, which I think is important. That has not been a real successful model, the elected board for the transit system. So it will become an appointed board like TriMet and Lane Transit.
Really? See, we had Alan Pollock on a couple of weeks ago talk about the changes and the upgrades to the services that are coming up later this year. But we didn't talk about the governance change.
Yeah, well, that's why they got the money. You just couldn't leave the same group of people for the long term in charge and have folks agree that it's worth the investment. It just wasn't working. This will change that board. The governor will be appointing them like she does Lane Transit and TriMet. I think we'll get a different kind of board member as a result of that, and different kind of management look at it. Alan's been a good manager and look forward to working with him over the years, but really in order to get the funding, that board had to change.
Okay. So,
we have one of the best hospitals on the West Coast. I am convinced of it in a number of areas, very specific areas. Higher education here continues to be nationally recognized, as well as nationally recognized for being affordable, which is extremely important. So kids here or people wanting to look for the really great livability of the Northwest have excellent options locally for higher education.
And I know that a lot of people in the community, one of the things their goal is for Salem and its growth and it's becoming more and more robust is we want it to be a place where our kids will want to come back and work.
Yeah.
Right? We don't want our kids to be like, well, thank God I get out of Salem, I go to college, and then I can go to fill in the blank, another state, or go to Portland, go to the bigger city. Goes, mm-hmm. But we want to be able to come back to the Mid-Valley and have job opportunities and, of course, lifestyle opportunities and things like that.
Yeah, and I think we're offering that kind of community to our kids. For a lot of young people, you can kind of be a barista anywhere. But we'd like to have them come back to both an opportunity to be a barista or any other opportunity they'd like to have. And I think we're starting to really see that kind of mix here, a lot of different kinds of jobs. I think our economy is really doing a good job diversifying right now. Okay. We've got substantial downtown housing occurring. Our downtown, I've been here for over 50 years, and I think the downtown is as much fun, as interesting, and as dynamic as I've seen it in those 50 years.
Ever.
I'm very excited about it. Now, there are always points on the horizon where you get concerned. How are the larger department stores doing? What kind of mix do we have occurring downtown in terms of small retailers? What can we do to be of assistance? The city has got, I think, one of the best urban development departments in the state, if not regionally, and has small business retention programs underway, as well as entrepreneur development programs. We have still a very vital urban renewal area downtown. We have tremendous growth in housing downtown.
And we talked about that, yesterday? About parking, too.
So any insights into the former McMahon site and its plans?
Yeah, it's going to be a 140-some unit apartment building with, I think, retail on the bottom. There's always talk of a roof restaurant. I think everybody hopes there'll be a roof restaurant on something downtown. I think there will be in the next few years. That'll be a major housing development downtown. Really, it'll represent the kind of housing that can be available to students, workforce, people with professional work downtown. It'll be a range of those. I think they're hoping to attract downtown workers into that housing. Paul Gaylor is in the process of completing his project, 41 units at the corner of, I got to think it through. I think it's Chemeketa in Front.
Oh, yes, we were talking
about
that. Or Court
in Front. I'm sorry, Court in Front. Yeah, it's almost done. And That's going to be a tremendous, that's a market rate project.
So the 148 units, one of the things, is that on the existing site, or is that require moving into site where there's other buildings?
McMahon site.
Yeah, the McMahon site.
Yeah.
So there was some concern about available parking, and are these going to be the micro
apartments?
People
ought to be worried about available parking. Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got an oddball parking strategy downtown. 10 hours free or whatever it is, 3 hours free. We've got a whole mix of it. We have not come up with what has been an acceptable parking plan for downtown yet. We can't consistently build and give up blocks for free parking like we did with mm-hmm. the Chemeketa Parkade and the Merriam Parkade, which were part of a bigger urban renewal package in the 70s. We don't have paid parking, so we don't have a revenue stream that will pay for additional parking structures. And I think until folks kind of come to grips with that, we'll have some issues with parking. Although I'll tell you what, I am downtown once or twice a day. I have yet to have a problem parking. Now, can I always park right in front of the store I want to go to? No. No. I actually have to be willing to walk a half a block.
What?
Or a block.
That's unreasonable.
Oh, hey, man.
Exercise. What?
You get your Fitbit points. All right. We're going to have to take a break. So we're going to take a break, take a breath, come back with Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is also brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back, folks, to Newsmakers. We've got Mayor Chuck Bennett with us here in the studio to talk about city, State of the City address last week, and plus things that are coming up. We've got a work session on the Third Bridge tomorrow night. We've got a vote in February coming up shortly thereafter. We're going to try to hold off on that. Otherwise, we won't talk about anything else for the rest of the hour.
Okay. That's true.
We're talking about all the good stuff in downtown, some of the things that we have mentioned on air. Mayor Bennett is now, confirming that the 148 units of housing is going in, and also
140 bed hotel coming.
Yeah, and a hotel where that lovely parking garage is. conference center people were happy to hear that the view from our beautiful conference center, convention center, is going to change, and we're going to have this new hotel downtown, and the 40 some units of housing are going to be opening up on Front Street, and year or two from now, they will be redeveloping the block where the Union Gospel Mission is.
Yeah.
And we still have the opportunity where it's now across from Salem Center, where what was the Wells Fargo building is now a hole in the ground. But a hole in the ground is easier, actually, to sell for redevelopment than a building you have to tear down.
Amazingly enough,
so that is actually, even though it doesn't look particularly nice now, will and is a great opportunity. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Statesman Journal block could do wonderful things. So, Mayor,
lots going
I interrupted
on.
You, but that's a lot of good news and things in the city that we can look forward to in the next 12 months to 5 years even.
Yeah, and not just downtown. We're seeing a lot of activity out on Portland Road, which I think is probably the growth part of town right now, is just got housing going in. We've got a lot of redevelopment of individual properties. Got a new manufacturing company, Ochoa Quesaria, going in out there. It's a very exciting part of town. C-Tech is continuing to develop. We've now got safe crosswalks, Croc Centers out there. It's a really, really interesting part of town. A lot of folks don't get out there as often as they should, but I think they'll find it's great. We're working on a business plan for the airport, mm-hmm. and supporting the group you're familiar with, Brent, very familiar with, trying to attract commercial air service here.
It's near and dear to his heart.
I know it is.
Hey, I've got a question. I'm going to stop you right there.
Yeah.
We would like, we think it'd be a great idea if we change the name of the airport. City owns the airport, so right. they can name it whatever they want. It's mm-hmm. Salem Municipal
It's actually McNary Field.
McNary Field. It kind of reminds me of the stadium, so the stadium's need the field. It's McNary Field.
Yes, it is. But
Salem, Willamette Valley Regional Airport.
Well, right now it's McNary Field.
Well, how would you think about a name change?
I like McNary Field right now. I look forward to if we ever get the kind of development we both envision, I think we could certainly take a look at another way to describe it. But at this point, it is named for one of our outstanding citizens historically in this community.
True. How about Salem International?
Yeah, let's talk of that as well.
I like it.
In due time. I got an idea. We'll make a compromise in the future, Mayor.
we'll call it again.
McNary Terminal.
Right? Yeah, there
the
you go.
McNary Terminal
at the Salem International.
Willamette Valley Regional.
No, that's too long.
That'll help us. People will understand that it's wine country. People will understand that it's the state capital.
Uh-huh. Too long.
Okay.
Make it shorter.
Dave.
What?
Now I've got to argue with you and the mayor. All right, Chuck. I'm
not
sorry.
You can interrupt.
Call
it anything you want, but right now it's McNary Field, but there are some things that I think we can take a look at. We're going to be looking over the next year, I hope, at resilience in the community. This could kind of get us into the third bridge, but there's a whole bunch of other factors at stake here. We saw kind of what happens when one of our really focal services gets into trouble with the water this summer. And I'm going to be putting together a technical committee to really work on a resiliency plan around the water system, our transportation system, and fire police, et cetera. Based on the reality, we're going to have some kind of disaster here at some point. And I don't think we're ready. And I think we need to have a plan where the public can pick it up, look at it, and say, yep, these guys have got this thing figured out. If we have a major earthquake, we will lose our water system because we've got big transmission pipes that are from the 30s and 50s coming out of Garen Island, where we pull our water out of the North Sandy M River. That very likely will fail. We have got streets and bridges very likely could fail. The list kind of goes on, meeting the needs of the public in times of emergency, and we're seeing it around the country, and we're not immune to the issues Indeed. That other communities face. So I want to spend some time on that. We were able to reopen one of the fire stations that had been closed this year. Station 11 just reopened it over in West Salem, almost a brand new station that was closed almost as it was opened. We were able to open it. Our fire chief is really leading the way on really dealing with cardiac arrests in the community. We have about 1,500 of them a year. We have about 26,000 calls here in Salem, 700 are for, and they're answered by the fire department. Mm-hmm. All of these these kind of emergency, 700 are fires. 19,000 are health related calls, and that's what the fire department primarily deals with. I just can't compliment Chief Niblock enough for the work he's doing, along with the Fire Foundation. They're training every eighth grader in the city how to save a life, how to use an AED, and how to do CPR correctly. And so far, we know three lives have been saved by one of these kids that have been trained.
Holy cow.
It's pretty exciting stuff. We do need to look at a new bond measure at some point for streets and bridges. We have a city park system that is rapidly expanding, and we have a lot of new planning going on, particularly down at Riverfront Park. Last night at City Council, we approved moving ahead on 17 acres out on Reese Hill Road. We're still adding land banking for park growth in this community. Again, community's going to grow. We're going to
can't stop it.
No, it's going to hit very easily hit 200,000 in the next decade or so.
Wow.
In planning, We're beginning the process on a whole comprehensive plan. And we have completed a State Street plan, State Street revitalization plan. But the two biggest things I see as impediments, and is probably what we want to talk about a bit. I kind of hate to just do happy talk. I'll tell you what, though, there's a lot to be happy about here. We've got a lot of things going on. Homelessness continues to be a problem. Mm-hmm. It's a problem everywhere. I think we're approaching it the correct way, which is a housing first program rather than tent cities in your neighborhood or your neighborhood.
Right.
My neighborhood, where people usually want to put tent cities. I live in Northeast Salem. We are putting people into privately owned apartments. We're working on, from the city's perspective, on the hardest to house members of the community, getting them into permanent housing. We found that these so-called hardest to house, which are people that have health, addiction, often criminal backgrounds, have terrible credit, they're just not going to get housed. We're working on getting them housed in the community. We've got over 100 now in housing, and we're going to continue on. We'll have another 100 by the end of this budget cycle. By next summer, I think we'll have another 100 housed. We house already. You know, people look at Salem, and I don't think they. I hear people complain. Right now, we house 3,474 low-income families in housing here in Salem.
Through the Housing Authority.
2,778 of those residents are children.
Wow.
Okay. And so, for clarity for the listeners, that the Housing Authority, that's federal money. That's not something, it's not municipal tax dollars. It's not your property tax dollars, but it's HUD money.
Yeah, it's federal funds. And there's also some local revenue that goes into that as well. I mean, we are serving the needs of the full community. We've got to. It is just, and trust me, in looking at the numbers, it is far less expensive to house somebody in one of these housing rental assistance programs than to leave them on the street. You leave them on the street, they're costing us about $30,000 to $40,000 a year in costs against the community. And it's a whole range of whether it's police or fire or hospital.
Well, we're going to come back.
Is 12-5.
Sorry, we're going to come back after the break. Okay. Finish up with the homeless ideas about the warming center and sobering center, and of course the bridge. So stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back, friends. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne at KYKN at NewsHour. With us, City of Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett. We're going to switch from talking about all of the topics here in a minute and talk a little bit, because we have to talk about the news of the day and the imminent topic of coming up tomorrow night, the third bridge. Yeah, and infamous as well.
Yeah, 13 years of imminent now. Yeah.
One thing that the mayor was talking about just before the break was how many people the plans and the efforts have to get people housing first, get them housing first, and hopefully and over 100 people now. And that's the size of, when you think about how many people are in one of those encampments that were moved, and hopefully by midsummer, another 100. That's 200 people off the streets and out of the camps and into some sort of humane housing, right?
Yeah.
So that makes a huge, huge dent. I mean, even though they seem to be everywhere, we're not talking about 10,000 people.
No.
So that is good work.
I appreciate that. How
many people are on the street, the estimate?
It varies. And
would you say 3,000?
Oh, no. Half that.
Half that, 1,500?
At most.
Okay.
At most. At any given time. And how homelessness is defined. I listened to a definition of homelessness. I realized right after college, if they'd have done the count, I'd have been homeless, because I was couch surfing at one of my buddy's apartments waiting to get a job. Mm-hmm. And I remember between my junior and senior in college, I was over hitchhiking in Europe for a summer, and I was homeless because I was sleeping in parks. You know what I mean?
There are
definitions, but really hardcore, very, very difficult to house people. We're probably running at about 900.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at it into the downtown core area, frankly, there are probably less than 100 people that are really the highly visible and in some cases, antisocial folks down there. And that would be a high number. So this is not like I hear a lot of people describe it as, oh, my God, our town is being completely taken over. No, it's not. That's just I think if unless you just haven't been anywhere else on God's green earth, you don't realize this is going on everywhere and that actually we have a handle on it. We don't have a solution. No one has a solution to this. But Union Gospel Mission will be expanding to 300 beds. I think Salvation Army is looking at some family homeless events. We are adding housing to the Housing Authority that are specifically for the very low income and homeless. We've got a lot of people working on this. And what we get every once in a while are highly visible, really unhealthy situations that have to be fixed, like the one we had under the bridge where you had the feeding and the tent community. And
you're saying there's a lot more crime there than that was really being reported.
Yeah, I think so. That's sure my understanding from the police. So one of the numbers I heard after the cleanup was that they had stopped counting dirty needles under the bridge at about 340. I mean, this is serious business. This is unhealthy for everybody involved. And we can do better, and we're going to do better. And we can do better than tent camps. The most important thing with homelessness is to cure it, not to just kind of put it under a tent. Mm. You know, and that's the approach we're taking. People who are chronically homeless with the various issues that can go with that have a life expectancy to like age 52. And that's not okay. Not okay in the city where I'm mayor. I feel very strongly we have a responsibility to help people out of that, to make sure we have an employment structure that makes sure people have an opportunity to work if they can. Certainly there are folks who can't, but we have to create a healthy community for these folks to come into, and I think we're working along in that direction.
All right. Well, without the benefit of a segue, let's talk about the work session tomorrow, tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
So this was called for. It has to do with the bridge, the planned bridge, and that certain element of the Salem City Council. Some councilors asked for a work session to get further educated on the whole process and the implications of how the vote goes, right? The implications of whether or not they move forward or don't go forward. That's really what I want them to know and to live with, that we will tell them there are results of your vote. There are implications of what's going to happen in the future as a result of your vote. And do you think they're going to get that tomorrow?
Well, you know, I'm not sure in terms of all of the issues you've raised. We have, just to put this in context, for the last 13, 14 years, we have been working on siting and doing an environmental impact statement for a third bridge. Actually, this goes back into the mists of time. I can remember in the mid-70s, one on Mission Street being proposed. There have been others. This has gone on for years. I think the council right now has a six-person majority that is opposed to the bridge. For most of that 13 years, there was strong support for the bridge on the city council, and it shifted over time. These are complicated issues. But that six-person group were elected, if not all, I think all of them, as part of their platform for the future of Salem was no third bridge. We will not support building a third bridge. What's interesting is all of a sudden this group saying, well, we don't have enough information to decide. Well, I just kind of, I mean, you try to be polite, but it's like, did you notice you campaigned against the bridge apparently with no information, and now you want more information? I think the concern now is we're down to the wire. This is a real Fisher Cup bait day tomorrow and in early February when a vote occurs. We have been notified by the Federal Highway Administration, who has paid for most of the cost of this environmental impact statement at about $9 million now. And 13 years of their time, and ODOT, who is the primary sponsor. This isn't like a city, totally city-initiated. We've just been the site of it and have been supportive of it as a city over the years. And that this has to be resolved within the next couple of weeks, or somebody's going to owe $9 million, and that's ODOT, and then what's called the Salem-Keizer SCATS, Area Transportation System Planning Group, will owe a big chunk of that $9 million as well, which will come directly out of programs, I'm sure, for the city of Salem. We are the biggest beneficiary of that fund. So what's going to be talked about is it was thrown open to the council, ask any question you want. And some really good questions were asked. They were kind of surprising in that they seemed like things you probably would have picked up as you determined your position against the bridge, but they did come in, and they've been answered in some detail. I think it's 80 pages is online to take a look, if I recall correctly, answering questions. But the bottom line of all of this is going to be build or no build. Walk away means you owe the money. If you just try to dodge the issue, you know, gosh, I don't want to vote, or I'm, you know, let's have more work sessions or any of that kind of stuff, we're gonna be held to that $9 million payment.
So I have a question. You say build or no build. Isn't it really put us in a position to be able to build, or not to be in a position to be able to build?
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
Because we're not, the vote is not to, hey, start pouring concrete, right?
Yeah, no. Build or no build, and I apologize, that's a technical term, actually, very specific to the environmental impact statement what the work was over the past 13 years and what the city, what the city council would be completing through allowing some response to some issues raised during the environmental impact statement. But you can't have a I don't want to tell you answer. You have a thing called build, and the only thing on the table to build, and I say that with air quotes because we're not building like a $500 million bridge or something, or no build is just an envelope where a bridge for the next bridges for the next 50 years might go. If you determine you don't want anything to happen, you want this to come to an end, you have a what's called a no build alternative, and that is an evaluation, an impact evaluation that says really we're not going to go ahead and build this bridge, and you begin to see what all the implications are. If it's a build, the one that's proposed is at Pine Street on the east side, Hope Street on the west side. Neither of those environmental impact the environmental impact statement is not a bridge design. It is an envelope, an area that has been evaluated that has been determined to be affected by any kind of decision you make regarding a bridge. It's just an area. After an environmental impact statement goes into place, you begin the next 10-year project, which is designing a bridge, you know, getting all the engineering, getting all the estimates, and going out for the funding of it, which would be done, I assume, regionally. The city of Salem doesn't have the capacity, along with other projects it's doing, to just build this bridge. But a lot of there'd be federal money involved. And then the question would be, what kind of bridge do you want? And I have personally always advocated a bridge much like the Selwood Bridge, as the first phase of this, which I think would represent the first 30 or 40 years of this bridge's life, would be a fairly, maybe a three-lane bridge connecting the two sides. Because I think that's what we can afford, and I think that's probably what we need right now is a congestion reliever and a way for to get some traffic out of downtown Salem. But that's my opinion. That would be subject to probably 5 to 10 years of public discussion. And
Do you think that people would be getting tired of it by then? Maybe that's why the support has kind of shifted for the bridge?
Well, the support hasn't shifted much, frankly. There's still about 70 to 75% of the community supports having a third bridge. The political support is different. Mm-hmm. It just, frankly, is different. I mean, I am I'm a total supporter of this bridge. I get elected by usually around 20,000 or more votes. Mm-hmm. The opponents get elected in their wards by much smaller numbers because there's a smaller turnout as you go down ballot. And so I don't think there's any indication of erosion of support in the broad community. In fact, most commonly what I find out is people are shocked to discover this thing's in, they keep thinking this is done, and it's not. But I do think whenever something kicks around for 13 years, you're going to attract opposition, and I think that's what's happened here.
All right, so obviously the cost cannot be an argument, and the location, the design can't be an argument. So the location must be what they're objecting to. We're going to have the mayor respond to that right after the break. You listen to 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
News. And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne. We've got Mayor Chuck Bennett in the studio with us, Mayor of the City of Salem. We're talking about the third bridge now and the work session tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And the challenge was, you know, hey, the people that are detractors, is it the design they oppose? Well, it's not the design because we haven't done it. It's the cost, not realistically, not truthfully, because we don't know what it's going to cost or how it's going to get paid for because that's down the line. It's down the line. So it must be the location. And you had a point during the break as well. It's not just the location. It's kind of an anti-automobile.
Yeah, I think it reflects a genuine difference, really strong difference of opinion that whether the growth in this community, which is going to be 20% over the next decade or two, will be people who do not bring cars with them. I think it's a feeling that the automobile is on its way out, that and we're going to help it out, and that we want to bring more people in on bicycles or buses or, and you know, given the growth this community's looking at, it truly is all of the above. But you can't get rid of the automobile as a dominant traffic form, and any place that has tried that has failed to be able to make that case. So the growth in this town is really on both sides of that river.
It's going to happen, and they're living with their heads in the sand. We've got a caller, actually, that wants to voice his opinion, ask his question. We've got Jim on the phone. Jim, you with us?
Yes, I am.
And your comment, you have thoughts on the bridge.
Yes, I do. I just tuned in a few minutes ago, and I heard a little about what the mayor was saying about, you know, the people that don't want the bridge, or the third bridge, are trying to stall and use every, you know, environmental excuse in the book. And I kind of appreciate what the mayor said about that and about having to pay the $9 million anyway, if I understood correctly. Having said that, my main question is, and I think probably you guys know this, because I know you've talked about this before, and I hope the mayor understands this, do you realize how angry people are going to be if this third bridge is not built?
Honestly, yeah, I hope it's you know, metaphorically, pitchforks and, you know, torches and pitchforks, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Jim, I mean, what ward do you live in?
To be really angry.
What ward do you live in? And will you be angry enough to run for city council?
That's a good question. I think I live by South Salem High School. So I think, is that the South Central?
Uh-huh. That's likely Ward 2.
Yeah, Jim, this Chuck Bennett. Jim, I honestly do not believe the opponents of this bridge on the council or in the community understand really how angry people are going to be if this does not proceed. The other thing I don't think they realize is most people think this is proceeding the way it's supposed to and are really unaware that tomorrow night and the first week or so of February is going to decide the fate of this thing. And that's why I made a point of it in the State of the City. This thing's hanging on by its fingernails right now. And I think right now there are 6 votes on the council to not build that bridge. And I have no reason to believe their opinions are changing at this point.
Jim, appreciate.
I appreciate your candor. I'm just saying because I when the guys that are doing this show, they talked about this before.
Yeah.
With someone else, and it was kind of negative. I mean, they weren't negative, but the idea of the third bridge being built was not looking good. And there's people are going to be, I mean, there's going to be some really angry people.
Well, yeah. I hope you're right. We will be. I appreciate your call. Thanks for calling in, Jim. We appreciate it. And anytime you want to call in, it's 503-393-1430. So we don't have time today. We're running the last couple of minutes with the mayor, but we'll have him back in a week, and the work session will have taken place, and we can go dive deeper into some of these other topics. It is a little befuddling when you think about the implications for a whole generation. And honestly, I get very arrogant and angry about the whole thing, because if you're not planning for infrastructure for the next generation, you should not be sitting in that seat.
I agree. This is, and I've told councilors this privately and publicly, this is a generational decision. This issue, some of them are going to say, well, we can just put it somewhere else, you know, next year or whatever. No, you can't. This takes about 10 years to go through an environmental impact statement, and you start from zero if you don't complete this. So we're talking an additional. Now, we've just completed 13 years. We're talking about another 10 years to do the environmental impact statement, and then another 10 years or so to design, fund, and build.
All right, we've got to go. Thank you, Mayor. Hopefully have you back next week. Thanks for joining us.
He will be next week.
You'll be
right?
back next week on Tuesday. Stay with us.
Okay.
Yeah, a week from today, we're going
to
hear from Mayor Chuck Bennett.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us for Local Talk on Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.